Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 12, and we are getting closer. Just 5 days away until the Steelers open their season Monday night against the Washington Redskins, a 7 o'clock kickoff. It'll be game 15 on the NFL slate of 16 games in Week 1. Of course, two Monday night games the first week, Dave. And, well, we now know kind of what the Steelers roster looks like, and we finally got a chance to hear from Mike Tomlin in a full-blown presser yesterday, so we got a fair amount to get to since we had a chance to talk on Monday.
Yeah, I think first congratulations are in order for you, David. I understand you are now part of the Steelers staff. You are the clock management coordinator for the Steelers, and I believe that job details you managing the Steelers clock, but for some reason on Tuesday – and for some reason, I don't understand. It didn't sound like you're going to get compensated.
Yeah, you know, I'm still mulling the offer over. It's an excellent opportunity. I think I will be fantastic at it on Tuesday.
Mike Tomlin agreed with you.
So, yeah, I think I'll be excellent on Tuesdays. But, I mean, the no comp is a little bit of a fly in the ointment, as they say. But, you know, as long as I think the best line I heard is, oh, no compensation. Well, then it's just like radio. So it's no different. It's a lateral move. We'll call it a lateral move.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, at least he's aware of your upside and your position versatility. And I don't know. Do you have any chunk ability, though?
I don't know about chunkability. You know, you like to take it. We only want small movements in clocks. So I want unchunkability in clock movement.
I got you. Well, people immediately ask me if I got any promotion or added to the Steelers staff. And I replied back that I'm hoping that Tomlin will promote me to left out.
Yeah, fantastic. I did have more than a couple of people give me straight up congratulations. So a lot of well deserved. As if, can you imagine if on Monday I was standing next to Tomlin in a 2 minute drill?
No, I couldn't.
That's how they do things. They just rip them out of the press conferences, stick them right in there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, a lot to get to. Mike Tomlin, of course, did address the media for the first time on Tuesday, and boy, was he in rare form, David. I'm talking about really made the Washington Redskins look like potential Super Bowl champions. Of course, he did run down the extensive kind of list of players dinged up heading into this game, all of which are day-to-day, which really doesn't help us out kind of long-term. I think we can kind of read in between the lines here. Mike Tomlin said on Tuesday that Roosevelt Nix back, Daniel McCullough's knee, Shamarco Thomas groin, Cody Wallace knee, Marcus Wheaton shoulder, Cameron Hayward ankle, Marcus Gilbert elbow, and Javon Hargrave knee can all be characterized as day-to-day to start the week. The ones, I don't know about you, David, the ones I'm most concerned about here are Nix, Shamarco, Cody, Cameron Hayward, and a little bit Javon Hargrave. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, look, you'd like to have, I guess, you know, Nix is a unique guy in that there's not really anybody to fill his role. Shamarco's got Jordan Dangerfield. So, you know, even though these guys aren't, you wouldn't, you know, if you're listing important guys on the team, they're not going to be on the list of the first 20. They have unique roles, so you'd like to have them. Obviously, Hayward is the primary guy that you'd like to make, you know, if you had to pick one guy off the list and guarantee he was in the game, that'd be the guy you pick. I think Gilbert is a go. You know, all signs point to him to be clearly a go in this situation. So that doesn't seem to be, you know, his elbow is going to be an issue all season long. So it's just, it is what it is. And hopefully he just doesn't damage it any further. It will be interesting, probably a little bit hard to watch during the game, but, you know, after the game when rewatching the tape, to watch his technique and see if he's favoring that and what he's doing and how they have it braced, if at all, how they have it wrapped or braced, and if that limits his mobility. The huge thing for him, obviously, is it's his inside elbow. It's his left elbow, which is significant in terms of how he's going to be able to use his technique with DeCastro to his inside versus being open on the outside, obviously. The rest of the guys, yeah. The name that, believe it or not, the name that strikes me on the list is Marcus Wheaton, only because it seems like Marcus Wheaton's on the list all the time now. I mean, he's a guy who just can't seem to stay healthy lately. We didn't see him. We saw very little of him in the preseason. He had the game against Seattle last year where the one game, you say the one time Antonio Brown in the last couple of years got shut down as Richard Sherman was physical with him on the line of scrimmage and really kind of took him away. But at the same time, that left Marcus Wheaton wide open, and he had, you know, over 200 yards receiving in that Seattle game, a career game for him. He has, you know, he is a talented guy, and I've probably ratcheted down my ceiling for what I thought he was going to be, you know, from the point where he was in his second year to where he is today. But still a guy who, you know, you feel like could catch, you know, put up Manny Sanders Steelers type numbers for 60, 65 catches for 800 or 900 yards. But man, you got to be on the field to be able to do that. So just another interesting name on that list of guys.
You know, when you talk about a guy like Marcus Wheaton, I was probably a little bit higher than many on him as well, too, when he came out of Oregon State. Is he going to be a guy, David, that when he leaves the Steelers after the 2016, is he going to have a Manny Sanders kind of career after he leaves? Perhaps maybe as a result of, you know, a different kind of system, maybe? I mean, are we going to look and say, a year after Marcus Wheaton leaves, see, there's a guy that we thought could catch 75 balls in a season?
I doubt it, because he's not going to have Peyton Manning doing it for him. So, I mean, I think Sanders, you know, kind of hit the jackpot, although I do think Sanders is a slightly better receiver than Marcus Wheaton. I think Manny Sanders is pretty damn about as close as you get to a 1A, you know, and some teams could be a 1 if they had a really good 2. I mean, I just think Manny Sanders is a great receiver. I think Marcus Wheaton could be a good receiver. But, you know, I look at the two guys who left for the Bengals, Marvin Jones and
Mohamed Sanu.
Mohamed Sanu. And I put Marcus Wheaton in that class. Now, I don't know. Is he going to get those guys got more money than I would have anticipated, $7, $8 million a year. I think Marcus Wheaton's a guy who'll get $5 million a year, maybe $6 million a year. I can't see him. I just can't see him getting $7 or $8 million a year. But, you know, so the answer is no. But I, you know, I'm with you that he, you know, he can be a good receiver. He can be a good receiver for this team this year.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And it'll be interesting to see when you talk about the dynamics of where he's possibly going to line up. You know, I think it's obvious that Eli Rogers is going to see some time in the slot. How much? We'll start counting the snaps Monday night when it comes to that. Who's going to play outside? You know, it's a role that Marcus Wheaton is familiar with on the outside opposite AB when you're talking about kind of, you know, 11 personnel. Sammy Coates can play outside as well, too. Now, all of these guys, Richard Mann and the others, would tell you that all have been trained to play all spots on the field. But how much we'll actually see of that, you know, is obviously yet to be seen. So, you know, are we talking about a guy in Marcus Wheaton that when the season's over, assuming all five of these wide receivers stay healthy, are we looking at a guy that's only going to play 600 snaps, roughly 60% of the snaps all season, or is he going to play more than that?
You're not going to play more than that. I mean, I'll go back to what I said on Monday, and I think, you know, you're going to have AB play 95% of the offensive snaps, and you can pretty much throw a hat over the difference between the other four guys. I think they're all going to play, you know, 40 snaps a game or, you know, whatever the right number is. So they'll all play 60%. Because obviously you'll have a bunch of three wide receiver sets. So, you know, they'll all get – Well, that probably not, that math probably isn't quite working, but so they'll all play, you know, 45 to 55%. So, and you know, somebody's going to get dinged up and miss some time, and so be it. But who do you think? Let's take a guess. Let's take a guess at the game against Washington. Let's say they have 70 offensive snaps. I would guess that, you know, Coates and, you know, Wheaton get 40 each if they're both healthy. Rodgers gets 35, and Darius Hayward-Bey gets 20 to 25, something like that.
Oh, wow. 70 snaps. You got to figure 75% of those three wide receiver sets, right?
Yeah, so that's, let's say 50 times 3 is 150.
So that's,
and,
that's
150, so it's 300. Let's just call it 300 snaps to go around. So AB gets 70.
Boy, you already got my
You have 230 to go for four guys.
It's 6 o'clock right now in Vegas, and you're doing this kind of math.
So let's say I'll go 50. So after having done that math, I'll go 50-50 for Coates and Wheaton. And so that leaves us so we got 300. That's 72. Okay, so I got it screwed up too. But we got about 80, 50, 50, 40, 35, something like that.
I heard iron sharpening iron right there while you were doing that math.
I'm still low on the numbers, because now that we actually did the math on how many times they go three wide receivers, you got more snaps available than I had originally anticipated. I just think they're going to be out there. Who's going to play more, Coates or Wheaton?
Wheaton. I think Wheaton plays more, and I like this simpler method. You were starting to make my eyes burn with that math. I think Wheaton plays more, and as far as Eli goes, I'm not going to give you your 20 snaps yet, David. I'm not going to give them to you.
I did my original math wrong. That was the problem. It should have been 50 times 3 is 150, and that leaves 20 times 2 is 100. So they're 250 snaps. AB gets 70 of them, so that gets you down to 180 for the four guys. And if they all played even, they'd all get 45. So that my original numbers, I think, were decent.
I'm going to say Rodgers plays 17 snaps.
I'll take over.
All right.
Now, if I say DHB plays 20, are you taking over?
I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I would be a little right around there. So
I think he will see the field. DHB in certain situations. I mean, obviously, you can use him to stretch the field, take the top off the coverage. So really, same way you can. Who do you trust? Okay, here you go. Boy, this went way off the tracks. I've had dates in high school gone better. Who do you have more confidence in here starting this season? Eli Rogers, Marcus Wheaton, Sammy Coates, Darius Hayward-Bey. Let's throw Wheaton out of it. He's a little bit more established. Who do you have more confidence in? Eli Rogers, Sammy Coates, Darius Hayward-Bey.
Yes, to use one of your answers.
I think that might be the correct answer, but go ahead and explain.
Well, I mean, Darius Hayward-Bey, you know what you got. He's a, what, 7-8-year veteran. He's been a very good signing. You know, the 3-year extension was a big surprise, but obviously the Bryant news came out, and you know, we understand why. He's as much a special teams player and a blocker as he is a receiver. So he is what he is. If I have my confidence is that Sammy Coates, you know, still probably has the higher ceiling, but if somebody's going to – my confidence in catching the ball on a 3rd-and-7 is for Eli Rogers. So – you know, Sammy Coates is more likely maybe to give you the big play, but I've got slightly more confidence in what Rodgers is going to give you, you know, on a down-to-down basis.
Eli Rogers, and boy, how his name has blown up in not just the last, say, 6 months, but like the last 4 weeks. I mean, you want to talk, I hate to mix in some fantasy talk here, but I had a draft the other day, and I was all set to snag, you know, Eli Rogers in, say, round 18. You know, nice guy to kind of stash on the bench. People, you know, he went in round 16, so people were kind of aware of him. And I say that because Is Eli Rogers a guy that week in, week out, you can get four catches for 40 yards out of? I mean, are we talking about a guy that when – and let's lower that. Let's say three catches for 30 yards week in, week out. In other words, at the end of the season, are we talking about Eli Rogers –
with 50 catches and 500 yards?
50 catches and 500 yards, what he did in Louisville. I mean, can we just tattoo some of those years at Louisville? Just go ahead and get the pin out and write him in right now for his first year, full year with the Steelers?
Yeah, I think 50 catches is absolutely I'd put my over-under at 50. And then, interestingly, I think the yards over under 500 is much more variable, because I'm interested if he gets man coverage in the slot, how many slants he catches for 19 yards. You know, he just beats his guy, and then, you know, the safety has to make the tackle. So that's where he's going
to
get his yards.
I think what you might be able to do with Eli Rogers, perhaps, is go back and look at some of the later years of Hines Ward. Of course, subtract, you know, a percentage of catches there, but as far as an average yards per catch, because he's going to be running a lot of those option routes, you know, that Hines ran, and Eli on the surface looks like a perfect choice to do that. You know, we've heard Richard Mann during the offseason talk about his route running ability and everything that goes along with that. But yeah, I mean, I think this might be a guy that very well could hit the 50 catch mark during his first full season, and let's say 500 to 600 yards, probably not going to have huge touchdown totals, but 3-4 touchdowns maybe. And oh yeah, he might return a few punts as well too. Before, I don't want to spend too much time on.
Yeah, let's get back on the rails.
Yeah, but real quick, if had Martavis Bryant not been suspended, would DHB just not have been re-signed?
Yeah, I don't think he'd be on the team.
I mean, would he?
I mean, he might have been invited to camp, and they'd have six receivers, but he wouldn't have a 3-year deal.
Right. How scary is this group of current five that they have?
I don't know. I'd use as scary. I'd say, particularly since they don't have a tight end to go with it. I mean, with Ladarius Green and Martavis Bryant, it's scary as hell. And now I would just classify it as good with a question mark, maybe.
All right, take us back out of the cornfields and get us back on the interstate.
All right, so let's get to what else Mike had to say. We went through the injuries. Justin Gilbert. So I asked Mike about he was first asked about his ability to play on the in the defensive framework, and he used Ross Cockrell as his example and said kind of 4 weeks in, Cockrell was involved, but he pointed to Cockrell having gone to Duke and being a very bright player and picked it up quickly. Rest assured, Justin Gilbert at Oklahoma State, probably not going to win he didn't win the Rhodes Scholarship out of there. So I don't know that it's going to come easily to him. So I asked him, are we going to see him at kick returns, and would it be more likely that he could pick that up more quickly? Look, Mike was willing to throw Jacoby Jones right into the fire. Justin Gilbert's done this. He's still listed as second on the depth chart behind Sammy Coates. But I'll tell you, I'll be a little bit surprised if he's not the guy returning kicks on Monday night. I would certainly be surprised if he's not the guy returning kicks at home in week two against Cincinnati.
Will he return the first one, though? You know, are you going to kind of reward a guy like this? Now, obviously, if he's the best guy for the job, will Tomlin...
Oh, I think he's the best guy for the job.
And I agree with that. Do I want Wheaton back there? No. Do I want Sammy Coates back there? No. Gilbert...
Do you want Toussaint back there? No.
Gilbert is a been-there-done-that kind of guy. It's not a matter of if... It's a matter of when. But with that said, does he get any Monday night, and does he get the first one Monday night?
Well, I think it's going to be all or nothing. So if he's not doing the first one, he's probably not doing it. So I'll guess no, but I would do it. I think Mike should do it. So, you know, we'll see what he does.
I think Mike should do it as well too, but I'm not convinced he'll do it. Let him have the first one. I think you might see somebody like Toussaint and, you know, or Sammy Coates get back there and get the first one. And then, well, here's the thing. Let's hope Washington's not kicking off a lot.
Yeah, right. Right. If they kick off twice, that's a good sign.
We'll go from there. Look, I mean, he's weeks away from, barring injury, from contributing to this defense.
Who contributes first, Artie Burns or Justin Gilbert?
Man, that's a great question. And if Artie Burns hadn't missed so much damn time, but you know, he kind of they both need issues against, have issues against the run, though. You know,
I would think Artie Burns is the leader in the clubhouse there, just having been in the system, even though Gilbert's played. It's not going to shock me if Artie Burns plays 10 snaps this game. Now, if he plays none, that's not going to shock me either. We're obviously talking – anytime we have this conversation, we're talking non-special teams. So if he plays 10 snaps, that wouldn't shock me. But, you know, Mike started his conversation talking about Jordan Reed. And, by the way, we are going to have as we do every Wednesday, we're going to have Brian McNally is going to join us, Redskins beat reporter, to talk about this. But, you know, the tight end position has been an issue. Will they go dime? And who would be, you know, I asked Mike specifically, who would be next up if you got Sean Davis in there at the nickel? And then Mike said, well, we got a lot of veteran guys, which, yeah, not really. you know, you don't have a lot of veteran guys. That's the problem. So, you know, he said we can mix and match and do a lot of different things. But, you know, it would seem to me that Artie Burns would be the logical guy and go to that system where they had Golden replaces Timmons. You have Davis at safety, and then you move Will Gay inside. But, you know, maybe not. I would like to see that, but I don't think we'll
see. Yeah, I want to touch on those comments, on that line of questioning with Tomlin here in just a minute about the dime and all like that. But back to kind of your statement there about who sees the field first. I'm looking for a coin around here. I think I would give the edge to Artie Burns just because he's been around a little bit longer. But, you know, Justin Gilbert, he's got so many flaws with him, man, when you go back and look at the tape with him. But on the flip side, you can see so many things with the measurables, you know, with him that says, man, I can understand why this guy was a first-round draft pick. I remember going over his tape at Oklahoma State, David, and how he ran the routes for some of these receivers and tight ends. The thing is, though, that's not NFL competition that he's going against, and we see him easily get himself out of phase at the line of scrimmage and kind of like press stuff, and instead of trying to use that speed of his against guys he should be able to go leg for leg with to get himself back in phase, he's just clawing at him and wasting his steps. So they're going to have to break him down like a shotgun and start putting him back together. And I think in the meantime, I think that would give Artie Burns a better opportunity to see the field first.
Okay, I don't disagree with that. So
now let me touch real quick on these comments that Mike Tomlin had to say when you was asking him about the dime and Jordan Reed and all like that, because I think there might be a little something in there. I think you asked him about the possibility of the dime. He says that's the possibility. I've seen people do it, but Reed, a highly productive player regardless of circumstance. So like I said, it's not one particular package or approach. It's probably going to be an effective one. We better be versatile in our approach, working to minimize his impact on the game. That's not a surprising comment. I think was it you that asked the follow-up about if Sean Davis, being Sean Davis, was used extensively during the preseason as a starting nickel? I think you kind of asked him a two-parter there. Will we continue to see that in the regular season? And kind of additionally, if the team were to utilize the dime package, who would be the next defensive back on the field? I'm not sure Mike Tomlin gave you the second part of your...
That's when he gave the, we got a lot of veterans, we can mix and match, we threw a lot at Sean Davis, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he goes, we've got some veteran guys that are capable, whether it's Will Gay or Golden, but the same can be said about nickel. He goes, we've given Sean Davis a lot of work at nickel, we've got some veteran guys that have logged a lot of time for that position, who we haven't necessarily given them in-stadium reps. And I'm guessing by him saying not giving them in-stadium reps, he's talking about during the preseason, guys like Gay and Golden not playing in the slot or something like that is kind of the way I took it. And he goes on to say, we've got big-time versatility on the back end in terms of how we can utilize people because of the veteran presence of guys like William Gay, Robert Golden, and we're going to lean on that. Now, let me ask you this. What are the chances that even just in regular nickel, David, in just regular nickel that we see someone like Gay or Golden in there and Sean Davis actually playing safety?
I would say since they did it very little in the preseason, I wouldn't expect to see it early. I don't think you'll see Golden on the field and Davis playing safety. So that's I'd rule that one out. I guess you could see Gay, Cockrell, and somebody else, but I mean that would kind of mean if he was playing safety, you're taking Golden off the field. So unless it's Dime, I don't really see that. I don't see it.
Yeah, it's just fun to kind of read, try to dissect sometimes what I always save quotes like this so I can go back immediately after and say was Mike Tomlin trying to tell us something, you know, in these kind of things. The thing is, how much do you trust a guy like Sean Davis in the slot right now, nickel or dime?
I'd rather see him play safety, obviously, but I'm willing to give him a go and see how it, you know, look, versus the alternatives. I mean, it's Artie Burns on the outside and then Gay on the inside. Who do you want? Sean the field. Sean Davis or Artie Burns? I guess, you know, Sean, the one thing about Sean Davis, and I don't have numbers, I'm sure you do, but he played more snaps than anybody, I would think. He was out there for, I'm sure he got about 200 snaps in the preseason, right?
I don't have the total numbers, but he did play a lot. And not only did he play in the nickel, he logged some snaps at safety. And he looked a lot more comfortable at safety, in my honest opinion, than he did in the slot. You know, you just kind of worry, you know, having a guy like that going up against, you know, such a great player in Jordan Reed. You know, is he going to get spun into the ground like a top? You know, that kind of thing. So, but here's another thing. You talk about dime. If they do go dime and you do pull a guy like Lawrence Timmons off the field, who the heck is going to come on? You know, Mike Tomlin didn't really give you that answer to your question. I mean, who would be your, and let's assume, and that's dangerous to do, let's assume Shamarco Thomas doesn't dress for this game with the groin injury. So if that's the case, who's coming on the field as your extra DB when you already probably have three out there in Sean Davis, Mike Mitchell, and Robert Golden, due to the fact that, you know, they're your nickel players as well too. So what corner are you bringing onto the field? Is it going to be Artie Burns?
I mean, you know, you've got your current alignment. So if it's not your current alignment, I guess your next guy is Artie Burns, because it's not going to be Shamarco, and it's not going to be Dangerfield, and it's not going to be Senquez Golden, and it's not going to be Justin Gilbert. So,
yeah. How much time do you think we see?
Very little.
I'm with you. I'll take the under. You're very little.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love Timmons on the field, so I don't know what you do.
You definitely, you know, you look. I mean, you're not going to want a linebacker running with people saying, "Well, just put Shazier on him," you know, and have him carry him. Yeah, I suppose, but even still, I mean, Mike Tomlin said it during his press conference. It's tough to put a safety in, or a linebacker on a guy like Jordan Reed. So, definitely. Is that the primary matchup we need to watch in this game? And we'll talk to the...
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll get into that. But, you know, the Skins have good receivers. And you know, we always laugh at Mike kind of building them up. But, look, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, did Garçon lead the league in catches 2 years ago or something? Jameson Crowder from Duke. I mean, those are dangerous guys. That's a dangerous group right there. That's not counting their first round pick, Josh Doctson. So I don't know what he's done in the preseason. So, you know, look, their biggest weakness in terms of their skill positions is quarterback. And Cousins, you know, threw touchdowns and no interceptions last year. So, you know, this is not a layup of a team offensively. Defensively, maybe they got some more questions. But offensively, I kind of like what they have here. So, Dave, let's go back. I mean, have we covered most of the Tomlin stuff that we need to get to?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Dupree, you know?
If he's hurt, he's hurt. And the injury didn't heal, so you go with the next course of action. The only thing that was a little surprising was he has not the surgery is not definite. And Melanie had a very funny tweet where she said, Tomlin would say surgery was not definite if the patient was prepped, covered, and the incision was about to be made on the on pre-op, you know. So we'll see how that plays
out.
And
your thoughts about how optimistic he seems to be with Golson. And make no mistake about it, read into this however you want. The fact that Cinquez Golson was not placed on IR after the third preseason game. Now, of course, he wouldn't have been able to qualify for the designated to return tag had that happened. But the fact that they're carrying him on the 53-man roster right now, I mean, no other way to look at it but to be a little bit optimistic. Now, here is what I think is the best case scenario with Cinquez Golson, David. Returning the week after the bye, and the bye is week 8 this year. I think that's the best case scenario. He'll supposedly have the boot off in 2 weeks. That gives him what, another kind of 6 weeks on top of it. Best case scenario, I think, would have him being back maybe in the game. Maybe he's able to practice a little bit before that, but being back after the bye would
Here's the thing I think is really important about Cinquez Golson and what he's doing is what the Steelers are doing is even if he gets to stand on the practice field and practice, even if he's standing there and do some stuff that maybe he wouldn't have been able to do on the IR. I don't know exactly how the rules are defined, but you can't practice with the team. That's a given. So can you just sit there and watch? I imagine you can. But he can be out there as soon as he can start kind of jogging a bit and doing some other stuff. And any kind of reps he gets before he gets on the field are valuable because he's had none. He's had two practices, I think, in pads in his career as a professional. So I think this is as much about 17 as it is 16. And if it goes well, you know, hopefully he has a chance to come back. Because look, I think Cinquez Golson would be the starter in front. Well, obviously that was the plan in front of Sean Davis. If this had gone according to plan, and then all of a sudden when you think about going dime, you feel a lot more comfortable about the setup you've had because, you know, Artie was injured so much. So I think it's a Steelers rolling the dice a little bit because you can live with a 52-man roster. Let's just agree with that. And knowing that this kid needs work. So if for some reason he's healthier earlier than we think, we can get him back out there earlier and just get him jog around the field, be useful.
All right, Javon Hargrave being promoted over Daniel McCullers on a depth chart. Yeah,
doesn't surprise me at all. He's been the better player. He is the better player. He's earned it. It's just they're different players, and they're going to have different roles. So I don't know that it's a big deal. If Hargrave was a 6'4", 320-pound nose tackle, then you'd say, okay, well, clearly, you know, McCullough's role is not – he's not going to have one. But he is. He's going to have a role and is a run stopper, and Hargrave's going to be more of a situational pass-rushing guy.
All right, let's assume both Hargrave and McCullough's dress for the game against the Redskins. Over, under snaps for McCullough's, let's set it at 8.
I said originally both at 20, and I'll kind of stick with, you know, Hargrave at 20 to 25 and McCullers at, you know, 15.
Wow, I don't think either reached those two numbers you just set for them in this opener. I really don't. I
think you may see Hargrave as one of two down linemen on occasion, you know, depending on Hayward's situation. You could see Hargrave and Tuitt out there at times. You could see Ricardo Matthews and Hargrave out there for, you know, a couple plays. Maybe not. Maybe, you know, if Hayward's 100%, you know, he and Tuitt will get probably 85 to 90% of the defensive snaps, and that'll take a lot away from all those
guys.
Will
one of those two players, Hargrave or McCullers, have more than 10 snaps individually against the Redskins?
Yeah, I think Hargrave will. Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to take.
You know, we're assuming health.
Right. I'll take the under on both those guys.
Okay.
Just for funsies there. Okay. What else? What else do we get? Have to get to before we talk to the beat writer?
Well, why don't we do the position groups next on Friday? We'll go through and evaluate. We'll go position by position, which we plan to do today. But we did a fair bit of that about a couple of the different positions. Is there anything else from Mike that was? I'm just trying to remember.
No,
Ladarius
Green. What about the faith in the tight ends?
Well, you know. you got to say what you got to say. What about Doran Grant signing with Buffalo?
Yeah, not overly surprised. Once they cut the cord the second time, I guess that was writing on the wall. I sure thought that.
So the trade was Ross Cockrell for Doran Grant.
Yeah, basically. I thought Doran Grant. Look, I didn't think Doran Grant was going to go to the Pro Bowl, but I thought he might be a kind of a role special teams player. Maybe a early career Will Gay.
Not fast enough. I think is at the end of the day was might be one of his issues.
Yeah.
What about the running back, the kid from the fifth round pick for the Texans, David?
For Tennessee, for David Cobb.
Tennessee, right? David Cobb's going to sign. He went to University of Tennessee.
No, Minnesota, right?
No, Minnesota, right? So it was with the Titans. Brandon Brown Dukes gets the axe over Stingley. I would assume if you're picking one or the other, I would assume they'll keep Stingley because he's a little bit of a different back. And maybe more useful on special teams, right?
So BBD, the kid from. I don't know. If I was to throw darts, I would throw it at Stingley. I think Brandon Brown Dukes is a little bit more kind of shiftier, whatnot, kind of back. And Mike Thomas seems to like him a little bit better. I wonder if one of those two guys got banged up in practice, and we're going to find out one got waived injured.
I'm surprised they kept, like I said, Monday. I can't believe they got two backs on the practice squad when they already got three backs and you got Le'Veon Bell coming back. So I don't think it's going to be a long-term deal for a couple of those guys.
You're not going to carry two running backs on your practice squad for an extended amount of time. The only kind of reason I pointed to Stingley, too, he's just a much bigger back. Overall, I don't know, where they kind of used him as a fullback dummy during practice because of a guy like Roosevelt Nix being sidelined with his back injury. I don't know. But if I were to venture a guess, and both those guys were healthy, I'd venture a guess that Stingley will be the one that's let go. But it could just look. I mean, you're talking about practice squad guys here. It could very well easily be just the other one, just as easy there.
This wasn't asked yesterday. Probably should have been. Is Eli Rogers your punt return?
Not the first one, and maybe not several times.
Oh, I think he will be. I think
Mike throws Antonio Brown back there first, and then Eli Rogers back there. That's a lot of pressure put on a guy. I want him to get in as Mike Tomlin. I want him to get involved in the game first. Monday night. So I want to see Eli Rogers get a few snaps and get into the game, get a few catches on offense before I throw him back there to return the first punt. So if I were to venture a guess, it would be AB first and then Eli gets the rest of them, but we'll see.
Okay. So yeah, we covered most of what Mike said and now we got the Skins, right?
Yeah, we got the Skins and I guess we'll take this time to have you throw things to the beat writer there.
All right. Well, we get coming up. We got Brian McNally, the Redskins beat writer for 106.7 The Fan in D.C., and we'll do all things Skins as we do every Wednesday. We'll flip it right back. Okay. Well, we just had a great 20-minute conversation with Brian McNally, who's a Redskins beat writer who covers the Skins for 106.7 The Fan. Unfortunately, we had a little corrupted audio. So at the moment, it looks like maybe we're not going to be able to share that interview with you. But Dave, he was excellent. And let's just kind of recap some of the highlights. One is we started talking about Dan Snyder and Scott McGloin being the GM. And he said, Dan Snyder's kind of realized he needs to have a more hands-off approach. And McGloin, as the GM, is kind of running the football operation. And Jay Gruden, is now in his third year, is running a relatively relaxed camp, and the big goal here for the Skins is maybe not a championship caliber team, but trying to make the playoffs consecutive years since 1992.
Yeah, and I liked his. We asked Brian as well too what the weakness of this team, Redskins team, is entering the year here. He kind of pointed to the running back position. Well, he did point to the running back position, albeit later in the interview he talked about how this is a Redskins defensive front seven that could probably be ran against and be ran against quite handily. So I'd kind of look for that as well too. David, I'm absolutely sick to start the regular season this way with some corrupted audio with this new recorder that I've been using here. So my apologies My apologies to everyone there. Hopefully you don't cut me and put me on the practice squad here. You know, with your promotion, it doesn't look like I'm going to be getting any kudos from Mike Tomlin on the audio visual type situation here. So I promise that I'm going to sharpen up my game and get this straightened out. And folks, you know, it was a great interview. That's all we can tell you with Brian. And I think David is possibly going to try to have Brian on his show maybe later on in the week prior to Monday. So if he does, do not miss that interview. And I'm sure those guys, they're professionals. They'll be able to record it much much better than I did. I'm absolutely sick about this, David. My apologies there. And anything else he talked about?
Yeah, I mean, a couple other highlights. Obviously, look, this is a team that does have weapons offensively. The injury report looks pretty good for the Skins. Josh Doctson, their first-round pick, hasn't practiced. This is the first week of practice since May. He's had an Achilles injury. On the IR, they lost their Junior Gallette is on the injured reserve, one of their outside linebackers. The front seven's not so great. We talked about them being able to run on the front seven. Breshad Breeland and Josh Norman, it doesn't sound like the Skins are going to necessarily play a system where they have a corner who follows. Josh Norman's not necessarily going to follow Antonio Brown all over the field. And you look at it, you say, okay, Kirk Cousins. And he's a guy who bet on himself with the franchise tag this year. Incredible, you know, last three quarters of the season, a 22-3 or a 24-3 touchdown to interception ratio. And so he's, you know, it's a huge year for him to see where things go. So kind of that's a bit of an overview. And yes, you know, unfortunate that we don't have it. But, you know, we'll talk some more about the Skins on Friday and give you our picks for the week and get into, the game plan. What we see happening in this one, week one, Steelers Skins.
Yeah, I'm going to be sick about this for a while. So, folks, once again, I apologize. Hopefully, you enjoyed the comment or the content in the first half of the show there. And as David mentioned, we'll be back on Friday to give you a little bit more, dig down deeper into the preview of this Redskins Steelers game, go around the league and give you our picks as well, too. All the usual stuff that you've associated with us during game weeks here on the Terrible Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, you can do so by going to SteelersDepot.com. Perhaps we need a better recorder we can we can purchase with those donations as well, too. No, but in all seriousness, I apologize to the listeners and you, David, because I really, really think that was a great interview, and we'll get after it again on Friday.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.